without realizing what it is you are saying. When you say, "Our Father," you are praying, "Lord, make me to be poor in spirit." Or on the other hand, if you are not poor in spirit, you cannot pray meaningfully the words, "Our Father." You are not rightly using those words. You are using them without understanding, and you are just using the words in vain. You now realize how you should pray the Lord's Prayer. You pray the Lord's Prayer in an attitude of poverty of spirit. You realize what kind of people can say, "Our Father." Only the people who are poor in spirit can rightfully say, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And then you realize you need to be pure in heart in order to be able to truly say, "Hallowed be your name." Because if you are not pure in heart and you say, "Hallowed be your name," you are simply being hypocritical. You are being a hypocrite. How can you say, "Hallowed be your name," when you are impure in heart? I shudder to think of all these people who mumble every day, and in many church services, they finish the service by saying, "Our Father." They don't even know what they are saying. Do we know what we are saying? I was brought up in a Roman Catholic school. And one of the first prayers I ever learned was, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And I didn't even know what I was saying. And every day I knelt on my bed until the time when I finally finished with Christianity. And I no longer prayed, and I no longer thought about church and Christians until many years later the Lord brought me back again and brought me into his eternal kingdom. Yet, in the Catholic school, like all children, of course, you simply repeat what you're told. And I used to kneel on my bed and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." I thought that was a bit too fast. So I thought I would better go through it a second time. And it is pathetic to think that there are people in the churches today who use a rosary to count how many times they said that, "Our Father." And in fact, sometimes if you go to a priest to confess your sins, the priest will say to you, "Okay, seeing that you have confessed your sins, I pronounce on you absolution, but you will say 20 Our Fathers." So the fellow goes there and he kneels down and says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." The faster you go, the quicker you get it over with, of course. And you press one bead of the rosary and the next one to keep count how many times you said it. And the next bead, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And this way you go through. It is absolutely revolting. It is simply terrible that people should be made to do things they don't even know what they are doing. No. We must pray these things, if we are to pray it rightly at all, only with the understanding of the Beatitudes in our heart, that we rightly understand what it is we are doing. Finally, I mentioned also that there is one significant change in order. So far, only one change in order. And that is that the blessed are the pure in heart. The sixth beatitude is moved forward to become the first petition after Our Father. This is very important. The Danish theologian philosopher Søren Kierkegaard wrote a book with the title "Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing." Purity of heart is to will one thing. He is quite right. He writes, rightly understood the Lord's teaching on that point. Purity of heart means you do not serve two masters. You do not serve God and mammon. Purity of heart is you will one thing. That is, you serve only God with your whole heart, your whole being. Purity of heart means there is no impurity in it. There is no other interest, no other master being served. You serve God and Him alone. Now, it is remarkable that this particular beatitude is moved forward. And there is certainly no coincidence that in the Lord's Prayer it is moved forward. Because as we shall see in our next message, this purity in heart is the single most important thing we must pray for in order to remain faithful to God. In order to remain faithful to God. Because in the next item of the Lord's teaching, you will see that it becomes a matter of spiritual survival. And that is very important for the Lord's Prayer. Spiritual progress, but first spiritual survival. So from now on, I trust that you will be able to pray the Lord's Prayer meaningfully. But not just to repeat that prayer, but that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as we as we mentioned when we were expounding it, is a model prayer. That is to say, the Lord didn't say just repeat these words, but rather make it the subject of your prayer, a pattern for prayer. Model your prayer upon this model prayer. That is, when you pray other prayers, you make this, as it were, a starting point, a focal point for each item of your prayer. And each time you go through the Lord's Prayer, you will have covered every beatitude. That truly is wonderful. May God truly enable us to enter into the spirit of the Lord's Prayer by understanding ever more deeply and ever more clearly the beatitudes. Keep meditating on it. And as I said right at the beginning, make the beatitudes an item of prayer, just as the Lord taught us to do in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Let us now be quiet before God.